For the reading of God's word, I want to just go to John chapter 4, verse 7, and I'll make this a brief message so we can redeem the time. I know that there's many of you that have still not packed and are still struggling with wardrobes and packing and what you got to do, and your minds will probably be distracted momentarily or tonight because you're thinking of, I got to get home and I got to get this done and that done. You know why? Because we've all done that. John chapter 4, verse 7, and it reads like this. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before your throne of grace and mercy, Lord. Tonight, dear God, we invite your presence into this place once again, Father, to commune with us, Lord God, touch hearts, to touch lives, souls, Father, to allow us to be an extension of your hand, Father, not just for these four walls, Lord, but everything outside of these walls, dear God. We're grateful to you, dear Lord, for everything you continue to do for us. Your mercy, Father, for being an awesome God, Lord, because there is no other God like you. And we thank you, dear God, for the precious gift of Jesus Christ. And we're going to praise you, Lord, and we're going to continue to worship you. No matter which way the wind blows, Lord, we will still have our eyes upward, Lord. If it comes from the east, we will look up. If it comes from the west, we will look up, Lord. Let us never falter, Father, or step aside from you, dear God, but continue to follow you. And, dear God, we thank you. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for grace tonight. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. So I guess it begs that question. How many of you are packed tonight? How many of you are? Well, of course, the children are going to raise their hands because they don't really have a lot to in this, but really think about it's a process. Jesus said to the woman at the well, give me to drink. You know, church, tonight the world is in a free fall. The church many times is leading America or leading the world this way in this free fall. The world swirling out of control. If you read the news, you read as to what is going on. Many times, church, you don't even have to look out at the world. You just need to look at the church. What is the church doing? And what has happened to the so-called church of Jesus Christ? Many times we think about, dear God, there's going to be a remnant that is still going to hold true and hold fast to your word. It's going to continue to serve you no matter what, no matter which way we go. As I was thinking tonight, as I was sitting there, I was watching the people that are going to youth camp. Or truth camp. Michael keeps correcting me. Dad, it's truth camp. It's not camp. As I was looking out, I was thinking how many of the young people were engaged. And you know what, church? Some of the young people were not engaged tonight. During praise and worship, we were not engaged in praise and worship. And you know, church, and that's not to pick on the young people. That's to say that's that element that's out there. There's an emptiness. Many people are looking for something to fill an empty void in their lives. You know, church, and I don't want to embarrass Brother Isaac, but you know, we were at the mall the other day, and I saw Isaac, actually he saw me, and I was waiting for my wife. She was shopping, and I was sitting there playing a video game. Yeah, my phone. Isaac walks up, and he says, well, I thought it was you, Brother Cisneros. So I was sitting there patiently waiting for my wife. Right, Young Rangers, what did we talk about being considerate, right? We've had a lot of discussions with the Rangers here lately for young boys only. And anyway, later on as we were leaving, we went and we talked to Isaac and his mom. And you know, church, the burden that these boys carry for their mother, it occurred to me, you know what? There's an emptiness there. And who is filling the emptiness? There are a lot of people in today's society that are empty. Even in our churches, there's a lot of empty hearts. People are looking for something they can hold on to. They're looking for an absolute truth, church, tonight. Is there an absolute truth out there? How many agree with me that the Word of God is the absolute truth? Say amen. How many would be willing to die for the Word of God? How many would say amen to that? You know, church, the absolute truth of God. But there's many people that still haven't found the absolute, because there's an empty void. The world is swirling out of control. Social media has replaced human interaction. Entertainment in the house of God is no longer programs. Entertainment is now mobile devices. We are creating space for what does not matter. Church, we are filling our lives, our minds with stuff that does not matter. You know, church, in a world that has gone crazy, and here's an example. They lost power in New York City. And you know, a metro area that big to lose power, that is a big thing. Because the way things are designed, the way an electrical engineer would design that, it would have so many multiple back feeds that you possibly cannot lose power without a lot of high-speed switching going on. Switching that takes place in milliseconds. It is so fast, you don't even see the surges and the blinks. But that's the way it's designed. But the source itself was a transformer. That's what burned up. A big transformer burned up. Lost power. Blackout. People struggle. All of a sudden, it's confusion. Because people can't survive without power. And that's just like us, church. Many times people have lost that transformer in their lives. There's a lot of people that don't have that power anymore. They're looking for something to fill a void. You know, many church people are convinced that we are fulfilled, but we spin into further emptiness. Programs. What are programs done for us, church? I have a really interesting statistic. Do many of you recall the Decade of Harvest? The Assemblies of God. Back in the 90s. How many remember the Decade of Harvest? Well, that's because many of us are a little bit older, and the rest of the group is thinking, oh, wait a minute. I'm not going to know that. That was a trick question. Actually, that was probably a question to determine the age group in here and the variation. Let's take some statistics here. You know, many around us sometimes feel fulfilled, but it only lasts for a season. Many are asking the same question, please give me something to drink. Let me know that there is more to drink from this well. Let me know if there's something else in this life, church. This life, many people are unfulfilled. And like I said, for Brother Isaac, didn't want to put him on the spot, but I thought about that. I have family that probably hasn't gone to church in quite a while. A life of emptiness. There's a lot of emptiness out there. Let's go to John chapter 4. Verses 5 through 32, and we'll begin. And like I said, I'll try to make this brief. Jesus had purposed to pass through Samaria in verse 4. There was a reason why Jesus purposed to do this. Because there was a soul. He went out of his way in a place where generally the Jews did not travel through Samaria. They generally avoided Samaria. Because there was these people, they considered them below them. Many times, you know, the Samaritans would claim, hey, we're all part of the same fatherhood of Abraham, and of course the Jews considered them illegitimate. And no, you're not. You guys are a perverted religion. You know, got to the point where the Samaritans actually had their own temple built because they felt we worship God in this temple, and the Jews had their temple in Jerusalem. Jews are correct. But the Samaritans had a will fulfilling their emptiness, fulfilling something that they needed, which is a God. So let's begin reading. Verse 5, then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. You know that Jacob's well still exists, church? You know it's still out there? And it literally exists. And as I understand, you can actually visit. It's one of the very few remnants, one of the very few archaeological finds that you can actually visit. Jesus, therefore, wearied with his journey, sat thus in the well, and it's about the sixth hour. So here we have a conversation taking place between the King of Kings and someone who is beneath. And I say beneath, church, because she was a sheep. And basically, the place of a woman back then, she was a lot less than the man, especially she was Samaritan. And the conversation takes place in verse 10. Jesus, he begins to have this conversation with this woman. And verse 7, when he asks her, give me to drink. Verse 9 says, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of me, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto her, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Jesus broke down perceptions, church, by what he purposed to do. You know, many times we have perceptions, and sometimes we do. There's a lot of empty souls, and I've preached this before, there's a lot of empty people outside of these walls. And we have to go outside of these walls. We have to break down these perceptions of what we think of people. Your siblings, your relatives, they'll never get saved. Church, if someone stood before you in this church and lined you up and asked you to name your relatives, and then they spoke to you and told you they'll never get saved, they're bound for hell, you might as well give it up, what would your response be? Absolutely no way. Until God gives the final word, until God's grace and mercy has been extended beyond, no one has the answer. But church, many times we have given up because there are people that are so far out there. But you know what they've done, church? Is many people are out there because they have an emptiness inside of them. This woman had an emptiness. She was down getting water. Jesus purposed to be there for her. Jesus will purpose to be there for you. Jesus has done that throughout time. One of the things that Sister Kathy didn't mention in her testimony was this man was a millionaire. The house was a 3-story house. Out there they call them cabins. They're 3 stories tall. It's a cabin in the woods. And you know, some of the procedures he had paid for to get what he was dealing with at the time backfired, and that's how he ended up being a quadriplegic. But you know, church, his soul hadn't been destroyed yet because he was starting to understand God's mercy. And for my wife to travel 670 miles just to purpose to be with her mother, to be at a funeral, to see someone be buried, but she was able to turn that into a trip of life for someone that needed prayer. Because everyone needs hope, church. There's an emptiness. Here's a man that is bound to a wheelchair, who's got millions of dollars, but he's bound to a wheelchair. But his spirit hasn't been broken yet, because he still believes. And I think God purposes to put you in that place, in that time, for a season, for a reason, because there is still one more life. There is still one more Samaritan woman that needs a word of comfort. And you have that word, church. You know, like I said, Jesus broke down perceptions by what he purposed to do. He, as a Jew, went through Samaria. He, as a male Jew, spoke to a woman, specifically a Samaritan woman. And you know what? Her question was, what do you have to draw with? What are you going to draw water with? You're asking me to drink. What do you have to draw with? You know, church, many times in our lives, as we go through life, that's what we offer many people. An empty pail to draw with and a deep well to draw from. Sometimes, many times, church, the church in America makes it so difficult for those that are suffering loneliness, that have that void. Because we don't give them the living water. We tell them, go ahead, here's a pail. And here's the rope. And here's a deep well. Get it yourself. See if you can get something out of this. And you know, church, that's not what it's supposed to be about. If you notice, Jesus didn't show up with a pail. Jesus showed up with hope, with grace, with mercy. These people know, they understood the depth of the well, the obstacle that they deal with to get the substance to fill it with. The question to the church would be, has thou that living water? Do we have that living water, church? Do we let people know about faith and hope? I believe many of us do. But there is a multitude of people around us, and not contained to these walls, church. And for some reason, God has been directing me not about this church. It's been about the people outside. Because there are generations of people that have fallen into the same generational practices of rejecting God. The same generational practices of doing what they've generally done. God is looking for someone that is going to break that generational practice. God is looking for that person who is willing to say, could you give me something to drink? And when that conversation begins, then the conversation turns to, let me tell you about Jesus Christ. When was the last time we testified to someone about Jesus Christ? You know, I had an opportunity on Friday. A young lady that reports to me, she was asking about what brought me to Oklahoma. Now it's going to be 11 years ago. And I said, you know, God did. And many of you heard my testimony, how God opened the door. And you know, church, those doors many times continue to open. Something that maybe a little bit of a confession to the church here a couple of months ago. There was an opportunity for me to go to Texas. Move out there. Ashley Church got through two interviews. The third interview, they wanted me to drive out there to interview Ashley in the area you guys are going to for this camp. But God hadn't directed me to go yet. Because church, like I've always said, we're here for a season. And it's for a reason. The ministry isn't just these four walls, church. It's out there. And if God moves a whole family like he did for us to come to Oklahoma because there was a couple of young boys at another church that needed someone to counsel them, church, it's worth it. But God will do that. God will move a mountain and God will make you pull up your roots and take you out there. Because if it's for one soul, just like Jesus, I'm going to walk through Samaria. And I'm going to go out of my way. Because generally, church, the Jews even avoided that area out there. They'd go completely around. They even had sayings referring to the Samaritans of what they thought of them. And you know, church, he purposed. Have we purposed to help someone in their loneliness? Have we purposed? When was the last time we prayed for those that we keep asking for prayer for? When was the last time we actually spent time fasting and praying for them? Really think about that. I guess what struck a chord when I saw this individual is there's a lot of empty people out there. God is saying we need to fill it with something. And you need to fill it with my word. You need to fill it with my grace. You need to fill it with my mercy. But they'll never know unless you know how to draw the water. Many don't know it's a gift. Do they know who's giving it to them? You know, church, the day-to-day empty life can be changed. Question to myself is, what have I got? Every day we interact with people. Every day someone is looking for something. Every day. You know, we had this, there's a lot of people that we meet. Even that person in the restaurant. Even that person at the gas station. Even that person you work with. They're all looking for someone that has an absolute truth. That can guide them someplace and somewhere to living water. Because church, the people of this world have been drinking the same stuff over and over and over again. And they keep going to the same well, and they keep drawing the same water, and they keep trying to refresh themselves, church, but it only lasts a season. It's only just temporal, church. Verse 12, this conversation continues. This lady, art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. What the world offers will only satisfy for a season, but then the emptiness always comes. In our church, we need to make sure we don't bind people with tradition, but lose them with translation. People are looking for someone that can translate the Word of God for them and show them. You know, we've many times talked about that, church, how many times we have a perception of what church people should look like. As they come in those doors, what should they look like? I thank God that this church is not concerned with the outward appearance, but is concerned with the dressing of the heart. Because Jesus Christ is going to start from the heart and work his way out. Because that's the way it needs to be, church. This church should be at a point where it's ready to be. We have enough space here, church. Our biggest problem should be we don't have enough chairs. Our biggest issue should be the air conditioning needs to run full time because there's too many people in here. Those should be our problems, church. Forget about the building project and we got a work day because, you know what, we just need to get money to buy chairs. We need to get enough money to have this many people come in. We need to get another bus out there so we can start bringing the children in. Those would be some of the biggest problems we should have. And I say that with all sincerity, church. You know, there is a lot of people in this community who have forgotten Jesus Christ. The so-called Bible Belt. As we know at the Bible Belt Church, we come out here, and the first time when I moved out here, I thought, wow, there's a church on every corner. There's a church for every need. There's a church for every flavor. Baskin Robbins, Church 101. And that's the way it's been. Anything that delights you, church. And you know what's sickening, church? A lot of this charismatic movement that came decades ago destroyed so many churches. You know, at one point, Jesus Christ had a direction through us as to where we needed to be. Then the destroyer comes. And he brings in false teachings. Brings in philosophies that make no sense. And brings in the charismatic movement. And I preach against that, church, because I've seen what the charismatic movement has done to a lot of churches and to a lot of good people. Fooling them into believing that some of these things in their lives are okay. This lifestyle is okay. It's okay to do this. It's okay to do that. That's not what Jesus came for. When Jesus came to the well, he met the woman at her sin. And when she left, she understood that this may be the Messiah. The woman saith unto him in verse 15, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Many are searching for that one thing that will satisfy. Many are looking for a draw near rather than a draw out. People are looking to draw near rather than to draw out. People are looking to draw near to something. I want absolute truth. You know what's interesting about this message, church, and I was not even looking at our Sunday school quarterly. You know, as I was looking at our lesson today, I flipped open the book. The Peril of an Empty Life. And my message was, and I hadn't, so Brother Jason, I'm sorry, but I did not read the lesson. So it only confirmed that God had given me a message. We follow this theme. You know, my message was an empty water pot. New church, because there's a lot of emptiness. I'm not talking about the emptiness of the church. I'm talking about the emptiness of souls. There are a lot of empty souls out there. Verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband and come thither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast is not thy husband. In that saith thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Church, we need to be able to provide answers for our hope, for our faith, for our joy, for our testimony. Dead traditions, like she referred to, is not satisfying. She's referring to a temple that had been destroyed about 150 years earlier. That temple was something that the Samaritans felt would appease their God, or the God they thought they were worshiping. About 150 years earlier, that temple had been destroyed. Yet they were still hanging on to that tradition. We used to worship on this mountain. We used to do this. We used to do it this way. And we still do, church. Sometimes we hang on to those traditions. Many times I think God is tired of traditions. God is looking for truth. God is looking for fire. And I've said that before. We are so close to the edge. God is looking to fill this temple with his fire. God is looking to say, I want people to see the light that I am about to shine in this community of Chelsea, Oklahoma. I want people to know that I am still God in heaven above. No matter what happens in Washington, D.C., no matter what happens in China, no matter what happens in Russia, no matter what happens in the world, no matter what happens in North Korea, no matter what happens anyplace else, God is still God. And it doesn't take much to go out into outer space and look at a world that doesn't hang by a string. To look at an earth that rotates without any strings on it. What an amazing God. An awesome God. But it's the same God who will meet you at that well and ask you that question. I thirst, can you give me to drink? And now people are asking us that question. I want to be able to drink something. Do we have that answer? A lot of emptiness over that time. You know, this woman probably had a lot of emptiness, church. This woman, as a Samaritan, probably dealt with a lot of issues in her life. Probably dealt with a lot of things as a woman would deal with. Not only was she considered a third-class citizen now, but you know, church, she probably had nothing. Her life was empty. Every day was the same thing over and over and over again. A life in Jesus Christ should be fulfilling. Every day should be a joy. And it brought me to this point, church, this thought. And I had actually written this down in my quarterly the last time. This thought just occurred to me. I was thinking about emptiness. And sometimes what we do, we create things to fill an empty void. And my thought was this. Do not let your emotion be your worship. Do not let your worship be your emotion. Many times we create things to fill a void. Many times we're creating something. We become a vacuum and we want to create something. God isn't looking for your emotion. God is looking just for your worship. God is looking for something that is absolute that you can actually give. And God knows truth. God knows your heart. Verse 21, Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. The woman represents the empty church soul looking for answers to things that they have been exposed to. You know, what's interesting that this woman was aware that Messiah was coming. This is a Samaritan woman, kind of the third tier down. And she was aware that a Messiah was coming. I thought this was so interesting. She knew he would be called the Christ. She understood that he would be a teacher and not a military conqueror. Because she said, he will show us, he will tell us all things. That was generally reserved for a type of a person that will show things. She never referred to might. What's interesting that even the person who's out in the world church has an understanding somewhat of who the Messiah is. And people are wanting to complete that thought and complete that feeling and say, can you please lead me to that? Lead me to that rock. Lead me to that person and let me know who is Messiah. Many empty souls have a realization of who he might be, but they do not have someone meeting them at the well at their need. True worship is more than emotion. It has an element of knowledge with it. You know that, church? True worship is more than emotion. It has an element of knowledge to it. Because we know what we worship. Verse 26, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. In the Greek text it states, I am the one speaking to you. The I am, the great I am. Did Jesus ever get his drink? I thought about this. Did Jesus ever get his drink of water? The revelation was not the physical water, but the spiritual water. And I suspect that there's probably a couple within the sound of my voice that have been to the well a couple of times and we received something, but haven't been satisfied. So the question is, what's filling your void? Did Jesus ever get a drink of water? Verse 27, now here comes his disciples. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? You know what's interesting, church, is that the disciples were out shopping in Samaria. Jesus had already begun to train them, because many times a Jew would not go shopping and buy anything that had been prepared by the hands of Samaritans. And you know that the disciples were out shopping for groceries, basically. Were out gathering food. And they were in Samaria. They were breaking through little by little. And when his disciples came, they asked these questions, you know. Oh, they didn't ask these questions. Verse 28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, I'm wondering, my message goes back to that water pot. Did it stay empty? I believe her water pot stayed empty. She left it there, but she went back full with something else. She left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, come see a man which told me all the things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Now here's interesting, church. She's asking the question of the man. She's not telling them. I suspect she knew he was the Christ. But a woman's place was still, like I said, she was still on that third tier. She was going to let the men convince themselves. And you know what? This woman's testimony. This woman was a very bright woman. Jesus knows who he selects, who he's going to use. This woman was tenacious. She understood some form of theology, and she also knew a little bit of how to deal with men, especially after 5 marriages. So she had a way of sneaking that question in there. She was going to let these men answer the question for themselves. Is not this the Christ? Let me tell you everything he said, everything he did. Is not this the Christ? I'm just wondering. You know, you throw the bomb out there, now let them play with the bomb. Until somebody has a revelation and say, oh, yeah, you know what? Let's go find out ourselves. You, lady, stay behind us or walk behind us. Or we're going to go find out if this is the Christ. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. The woman testified with a statement and a question. She was inferior to men and was careful how she presented it to them. Like I said, the woman was very intelligent and thoughtful and empty. The woman left her water pot and went to spread the news. The water pot might have stayed empty, but her life was filled. She left the water pot of emptiness behind. I believe she never looked at that well the same way again. More than the Jews, I wonder how she reacted to the news of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. I wonder if she understood more than the disciples. It makes you think, church, there was people out there that had understanding, somewhat. Because many still went to the old prophet writings and had some sort of a revelation. And obviously this woman was very, she was in sin. But she had a level of intelligence. Verse 31, in the meanwhile his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him out to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye that there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are all white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into the labors. So the question, once again, did Jesus ever drink any water? How about, did Jesus ever eat? You know, and many times Jesus left the flesh and dealt with the spiritual side of man. It's an interesting thought that the drive to fulfill others was more than the drive to fulfill self. The time to harvest is now. You know, church, the decade of harvest statistics, 1990 to 1999. I remember Assemblies of God, we were up in Denver, my wife and I, and they put up these big posters. Decade of Harvest, and I can't remember if it was a wheat field, but they were really big, colorful posters. All the Assemblies of God were doing this. Decade of Harvest, man, it's time. Now's the time. You know, this has been in Scripture for quite a while. Jesus had already talked about Verse 35, they are white already to harvest. We should have been harvesting way back even before then. But all of a sudden we had direction. Are we filling an empty void in the church world? The decade of harvest statistics from 1990 to 1999, 2,940 new churches were opened. 1990 through 1999, the same span of time, 2,077 churches closed. The change was 863. So really, they only gained 863 churches. You know, the general superintendent at the time, Thomas Trask, indicated this program-driven effort, though beneficial, ultimately might not have been directed by the Spirit. Do you think? Now is not the time to have that question. After 10 years, you think maybe it wasn't directed by the Spirit. Well, who was the person that was praying? Who was praying over the situation, over the lives of men for 10 years? Who was the person responsible? Or did at the time we have a superintendent who had an empty void in his life and wanted to fill it with program? A church that was decaying and wanted to fill it with program? Another emptiness, church. So the question was, who was waiting at the well? Verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word. And verse 42, and he said unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying, you're a woman, by the way, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. You know what's interesting, church, is God takes the person of that lowest life, that lowest degree in society, and turns them into soul winners. You know, church, he took a woman that had been married 5 times, that according to the Mosaic law should never have occurred. According to God's laws, God's rules, the way Adam and Eve, you can go back through, and there were certain things she should not have done. And now she was with another person who was not her husband. But you know what's interesting is God took that person, that empty person. She left an empty water pot behind. And she went back fulfilled. And you know what she did? She ignited a fire in Samaria. So you can't tell me that God doesn't reach the lowest of the low. Because God is still looking for souls. And God is looking for someone to meet someone at a well. Very simple, church. God is looking for someone. The testimony of one empty soul meeting the Savior at the well in their life spreads. The testimony of one empty soul being fulfilled brings others to the same well. That needs to be the church. Who's waiting at the well? He is still waiting in the church, waiting to fulfill that emptiness. You know what? Job 22 verse 9 reads, thou hast sent widows away empty, and the arms of the fatherless have been broken. Emptiness. Isaiah 29:8, it shall even be as when a hungry man dreameth, and behold, he eateth, but he awaketh, and his soul is empty. Or as when a thirsty man dreameth, and behold, he drinketh, but he awaketh, and behold, he is faint, and his soul hath appetite. So shall the multitude of all the nations be that fight against Mount Zion. This key phrase is in Isaiah 29:8. His soul is empty, his soul hath appetite, church. There's a lot of people out there that are empty looking for something. Isaiah 32:6. For the vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity, to practice hypocrisy and to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. And that's what really gets me, church, is the charismatic movement. That's what it did. It started speaking error, and it created more hunger for people because it gave them something that was not real, church. It came packaged in a nice package, and people bought it. And today people are still reaping the disaster that it was. And Jeremiah 14:3, and their nobles have sent their little ones to the waters. They came to the pits and found no water. They returned with their vessels empty, and they were ashamed and confounded and covered their heads. As I conclude these thoughts, church, like I said, I was going to keep it brief. An empty pot. You know, people are looking for something that is absolute out there. What are the chances of my wife being at a home up in Red River, New Mexico, at a cabin, belonging to somebody that lives out in Texas who married a lady from this area. Two sisters live in Vinita, Oklahoma, who still has a brother in Fairland. What are the chances, church? How does God orchestrate this? How does God put this together? There are many that would like to have the experience of leaving a water pot behind. It is up to us to be available at that well, church. It's up to us. Let me read you something I found. This was really interesting. And it deals with emptiness. Thousands of Christian villages in China. This news just came out this July 2019, this month. Thousands of Christian villagers in China have been told to take down displays of Jesus, crosses, and gospel passages from their homes as part of a government propaganda effort to transform believers in religion into believers in the party. The South China Morning Post reports that Communist Party of China officials visited believers' homes in Yugan County of the Jiangxi province, where about 10% of the population is Christian. They urged residents to replace personal religious displays with posters of President Xi Jinping. More than 600 people complied by removing Christian symbols from their living rooms and 453 hung portraits of the communist leader, according to the South China Morning Post. Of course, the efforts, as the government puts it, were a part of a government campaign to alleviate poverty in the region, since some CPC members believe families' faith is to blame for their financial woes, according to the SCMP. The poster swaps in villagers' homes represent the party's desire to have residents look to their leaders rather than their savior for assistance. Empty people, church. An empty government. They don't even know who the Messiah is. Someday they will. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue will confess. They will see an awesome God in all His glory. The day will come, church. I don't know, care what your affiliation is. I don't care what your thought life is. I don't care the way you think that God should function in your life. None of that's going to matter when you stand before an awesome God and you realize just how big and glorious He is. If your communist philosophies, and I hope none of you are communists in here, because you'll probably turn me in, right? Socialists, whatever you are, church, God will still forgive you, whatever you are. You know that God, there will be a day of reckoning when you will realize everything you thought was right in your mind is totally wrong. And only one opinion matters, and that's Almighty God's. This was a quote from this the Communist Party. Many poor households have plunged into poverty because of illness in the family. Some resorted to believing in Jesus to cure their illnesses, the head of the government campaign told the SCMP. But we tried to tell them that getting ill is a physical thing and that the people who can really help help them are the Communist Party and the General Secretary Xi. You know, church, persecution is starting. You know, China was allowed to have what they call official churches. The doors are starting to close. This church service tonight, in maybe a couple of years, in a couple of months, maybe after the 2020 election, will be legal. I want you to think about that sobering thought, church. Really think about, for you to share your testimony of Jesus Christ. There are many people out there on the radical left who believe that Jesus Christ means nothing, who believe that government has the answers to everything, and who just love to shut down Christian organizations, Christian churches right and left. Just look around, church. The signs are here, and they're going to get stronger and stronger. And you, church, it's up to us as a congregation to continue to be for other people the person that sits at the well, wanting to give them that living water, no matter what happens, church. Because the days are short. Summer's here, but summer will be gone. God is looking for an army of people who are going to stand no matter what. God is looking for generals. He's looking for lieutenants. He's looking for infantry. He's looking for someone who's going to hold a sword and willing to hold it up high and proclaim. He is looking for someone who's willing to stand up for what is right. He's looking for someone who's willing to swing this. He's willing for someone who will communicate with him in prayer. Someone that will spend time in prayer. Someone that will support the ministry. Someone that will say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Because church, many times we talk about things in our lives. Are you willing to leave Chelsea, Oklahoma? I throw that out there, church, because I left New Mexico. I left everything behind. We left our families. My children, their grandparents, we left it all behind. We came to a strange, we knew nobody in Oklahoma. But God directed our path here for a reason. And you know, church, as we draw closer to the end of time, do you think, Lord, do we have to fulfill the work here? And we look around church and we say there's not a lot of us. But church, you'd be surprised how much power and authority there is in this place. How much firepower there is in this place. And with these young people. How much firepower there is for this community, for this world, church. All it takes is one spark. But Jesus simply says, are you willing to be at the well? So the question is asked, will you give me something to drink? Will you be able to answer, let me give you living water. Let me talk to you about the Messiah who will give you that living water. Are we willing to do that? And I say, church, we are. But we got to be in shape. And I talk about spiritually in shape. Because we can spend time, church, practicing, working out physically, but spiritually, we are vastly, vastly underworked. We are vastly inadequate. God is looking for the saint of God who shows up with the sword already swinging. Because church, when we come to church, many times we come and I know church. We all know the routine. We show up to church and we laugh about it because the children are fussing. When they were small, they're fussing, whatever, and emotions are running high. And then as soon as we walk in the church doors, you know, if we could do that every time. Sister Lindsay's laughing because she knows we've all been there. But church, God is saying, I need someone that is going to come already prayed up, prayed through, and coming to pray more, that is willing to swing this. Because nobody else is going to do it. Those lost loved ones that we have, those siblings, brothers, sisters, parents, children, church, no one is going to swing that sword harder than you can. No one is going to send the sparks off that metal, off that sword, a lot. There is no one else that is going to take the place, church. And within the sound of my voice, if you're willing to do it, church, take the challenge. And let's do it, church. Let's meet at the well. Let's meet people at the well, church, tonight. If we can have a piano player, let's find a place in our lives that we have deemed empty, church, and let's fill it with Jesus Christ. And let's find somebody, let's purpose in our minds, in our hearts, to find someone you know that is empty. And let's purpose to say, God, I'm willing to swing the sword for them. But I'm willing to lay down the sword, Lord, for a season to meet him at the well. And Lord, when they put down that water pot, I will know, Lord, then. Because at that same time, Lord, I can take that sword and I can break that water pot, Lord. Because there's no need to drink from that water anymore, that water of loneliness. Now, the drink will come, Lord, from drinking the living waters from you, Jesus Christ. Tristan, let's stand. Let's find a place to pray tonight. And let's look for a time of commitment. Put away the thoughts of tomorrow just for a time. And I know we're all eager to leave. We've got time, church. Think of someone. And I guess I was burdened because I've heard the prayers of these children for their mother. And you know, church, I thought, if these children are willing to pray for their mother, why isn't anybody else willing to pray for their spouses, for their parents, for other children? Their love for their mother is deep. You can't take that from them. They are one step closer to bringing her to the cross. But many times, church, they grow weary and they need someone to help them swing that sword. Because, church, that's another soul. Every soul that comes in these doors, whether it's this doors or Door of Any Church. One more soul, church, is one more soul. I have brothers, church, tonight, that if I were to prejudge, I might say, there is no way you'll ever make heaven. Because of the way you live and because of the way you are. And God says, I'm not asking you to judge them. I'm asking you to swing the sword. I'm asking you to go to the wellhead tonight. I'm asking you to meet him at the well and tell him, you need to know who Jesus Christ is. We need to do it tonight, church. Tonight, Sunday, is a new beginning. There is still grace and mercy tonight. As I plead with the congregation tonight, I'm saying we have another opportunity for grace and mercy. I have siblings that will not make heaven tonight. If they were to die, they would go into a devil-filled hell. And that's where they would spend eternity. And God is saying, I'm asking you not to judge. I'm asking you to swing that sword. I'm asking you to meet him at the well. But God, I am tired of dealing and the arguing. And God is saying, that's not what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to meet him at the well. Take that water pot they brought to the well that they continue to fill with emptiness. Take it and break it. Break it for them. Send them away knowing about the living water of Jesus Christ. Tonight, church, we have an opportunity for grace. Everyone in this room knows about grace. But those people that are lost tonight have grace tonight, church. There's just enough grace for them. But you know that just enough grace is in abundance. And you know, church, tonight's the night. I know Sister Pepper, for her family, her brothers. Sister Pepper, swing the sword. Meet him at the well. We have lost loved ones. My wife, my in-laws, my parents, my brothers. We all have lost loved ones that tonight could face judgment. I'm saying, church, let's swing the sword. Let's swing it hard. Let's swing it. Let the devils cry out as they know that someone that is in the army of Jesus Christ is swinging that tonight. Church, let's find a place to pray and let's give it to the Lord.